In 1985, Willie Nelson, Kris Kristofferson, Waylon Jennings, and Johnny Cash got together and did a song called The Highwayman. Maybe you've heard of it before. I heard it was kind of a big deal. And you get all these like country superstars together, and they sing about guys dying, doing things guys do, right? Like you had the highwayman, a sailor, a dam builder. Johnny Cash flew a starship. I don't understand it, but he sang the heck out of it. And in this song, like, though they died, these like fighting spirits remained, and they were still around in the next guy, and the next guy, and the next fighter that came along and had the spirit to like not give up. Now, it's interesting because this year, a group of female country artists got together and they remade the song with the original songwriter, Jimmy Webb. And it's Brandi Carlile, Amanda Shires, Maren Morris, and Natalie Hemby. And they came out with their version of the song in August called The Highwaymen. And they take the same idea as the original, but it's from a woman's perspective. And you've got an immigrant mother who dies getting her kids across the border to safety, and a female doctor who was accused for witchcraft. You have a freedom rider shot for being on the bus because she wasn't the right color in the fight for civil rights. And then I'll cue you into why I like it so much, because there's a girl preacher in it, and apparently girls aren't supposed to teach. So I am so moved, like this song, I'm not even a country girl at all. Like, it's not my thing. But this song has been, like, on repeat in my house. My daughter's like, why do you keep listening to that song so much? I'm like, I like it. I'm going to share part of it with you. And I promise I'm doing no justice to the woman who belts this out in a beautiful way. But listen to these words. She said, I was a freedom rider when we thought the South had won. Virginia in the spring of 61. I sat down on the Greyhound that was bound for Mississippi. My mother asked me if that ride was worth my life. And when the shots rang out, I never heard the sound, but I am still around. And then she belted out, and I'd take that ride again and again and again. And I love it because the cost was everything, but the fight was absolutely worth it. And the point of both of these songs, right? Like, the guys died, the women died, but their fighting spirits remained. And they close it out with, we'll come back again and again and again. Because this fighting spirit pops up in men and women in different generations and in different times in history. Because fighting for what right is right matters. And persisting in what is right matters. And that courage and strength for fighting the battles that we face are required in every period of history. And what's so amazing about these stories is, even in loss and struggle and pain, their story is, we will still remain. And I love these kind of songs because I feel like they hit a chord that's like so real in us, right? Like, they speak to what we've seen and what we've experienced and what we want to be different in our world and in our own lives, because we all deal with these incredibly hard things. And noted, they are different ways and different measures, but no life is untouched by pain. No life goes through without loss or struggle or some type of fight to prevail something. But what is the difference is how we deal with it. Because some people are confronted with these moments with tragedy or unexpected loss or change in life circumstances, and they're ruined by it. What happens is they can't recover, and it becomes their prevailing life narrative. Life was great until it wasn't, and now nothing will ever be great again. But then on the other side, you have other people who deal with the same tragedies and similar losses and similar changes in life circumstance, and they do get upset, and they are angry, and they are hurt, but they find ways to work through the emotions, to work through that changed life expectant or that trajectory, and they come out on the other side, not ruined, but hopeful. They get through these hard times, not crushed, but optimistic, even stronger for having survived the hardship, stronger for having gotten through to the other side. And so we have to ask, what's different between these two people, the person who responds and is ruined, or the person who, though they're hurt, they find a way through stronger? What's the difference? And there's something about these people who are able to work through hard times that's tough and gritty, and it pushes them forward even in the most challenging of circumstances. And every time I see this, whether it's in a song or a book I'm reading or a story or somebody's life history, like, I have to ask myself, like, can I do that? Is that in me to have the ability, to have the strength to persist even when life gets hard? Like, can we all learn this, right? Is it a skill we can learn that's the kind of toughness that allows us to kind of move through life even when it's a struggle and it's hard? And I think the answer is yes. And so I want to give us a couple things to really think through today to help us start this process in our own lives. And we're going to start looking at what Paul says in his letter to Corinth, his friends there in 1 Corinthians. It's chapter 15, right at the end of the chapter, verse 58. It says, therefore, my beloved brothers and sisters, be steadfast and immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. And he uses some really, really good words in this, so I want to unpack them a little bit for us. The first one he says is be steadfast. And kind of the context for steadfast is it's like grounded and settled and firm, and it has kind of like this implication to it that's like steady and unwavering in the course that you've set. So you know the course that you're trying to get there, and you might have to swerve away, but you're getting to the course. You have that destination in mind. You can also think of it as resilience. Resilience, we've talked about this as many times as I know how to talk about it, but resilience is that thing, that virtue, that strength, that value, that character trait that really allows some people to get through hardships, not to just survive it, but to move through it and become better on the other side of it. It's that thing that allows us to take on challenges and develop ourselves and our skills and really live with even more purpose and more joy. So you have steadfast, but then you have, it's partnered with immovable. And what immovable means is you can't be moved. Not like in a stubborn, you can't make me change my mind kind of way, but in a firmly persistent, this is the trajectory and the way that we should go. And when you put these two ideas together, what happens is you have this lovely picture of how we move our way forward, even when life gets hard. Because what we start with is we know our course. Remember last week we said we got to figure out, like, who are we? What do we want? And why do we want it? And how do we accomplish it? That's the starting point. Because when we know these things, we're able to say, that's where I'm going. And I don't care if I have to go the long way around to get there. I know where it is that I'm heading. And as we know that course, we set it even in the challenges that we face because we say, this is who I am. This is who we've been called to be. And not even life's frustrating moments can shake me off that course. And we find we can be firmly persistent in the things that matter the most, right? This is who I am in life. This is who I'm going to be. And I know for me, one of my values, we talked about this, remember? Who am I? And one of the ways that I try to answer this question is I say, I am God's girl. And so one of the things that I've had to work at, if I'm God's girl, how does that show up in my life? How do I make that happen? And one of the things I had to switch in my head and switch in the way that I would say things when things got hard, because let's be honest, things get hard and we're like, God, really? Like this? Right now? Like, haven't you seen me out here doing all these good things? Like, now this bad has to happen. And so I switched my dialogue, this inner running voice through my head, instead of saying, God, why would you do this to me? Instead to saying, God, help me through. So instead going to God and saying, why would you let this happen? Instead, I say, God, help me to see who I can be in spite of this thing that's happening. Help me approach it with some measure of grace, right? Like, help me be your girl, even in this chaos. Help me be that girl that I want to be. Because when we say what matters most, what happens is it helps us filter through what we think and what we do when bad things happen, when we're upset or frustrated or sad or mad or hurt. Because let's be honest, those emotions don't typically call out our most noble behaviors, right? Like, when I'm angry, I'm working to be my best self. It's not my best self that wants to come out, right? When I'm mad or hurt or frustrated, my normal impulses aren't always good. And so what I have to say is I have to have something that overrides my immediate impulse that directs me in what I say and what I do. And when I have that core foundation of this is who I am, I'm saying I'm going to check that impulse because it isn't right. I'm going to check that thought because the thought isn't right or helpful or even healthy for that matter, right? But the better we know who we are, the better we are able to stay on that course to where we want to go. And figuring this out, it takes work. It's not something that just happens one day, right? Like this magical unicorn that we stumble upon and all of a sudden our purpose is like, ah, right? Like it doesn't happen that way. Instead, we got to fight for it and work for it and put the time and the effort and the energy into figuring it out. But it isn't easy, doesn't mean it's not worthwhile. Because here's the other challenge, right? Life doesn't stay still while we're trying to figure these things out. Like there's no pause button that we get to push on life and say like, okay, you hold for like 6 months. Let me do some work on myself and then I'm gonna jump back in, right? Everybody's like, you're crazy, right? Like things go on, life progresses forward, whether I'm ready for it or not. And because I can't still life, we've got to figure out how to do this work even in the chaos, even in the crazy and the busy and the stress. We have to figure out how we become who we are so that we can push forward even in the struggles of everything going on around us. So today I want to give us three things that I think help. And I say these three things not because I'm perfect in them, because I'm actually imperfect in them. And these are my challenges and reminder. Like we say these words in our house. I say them to myself and I say them to my kids and we say them and we say them and we say them because grace of God, like maybe they'll stick one time, right? Maybe I will get good out of it, but I need these reminders. And so I want to share with us today because I think they are things we can actually start doing right now to make this tangible and real. Okay, here's the first one. If you're writing this down, there's three things to write down. They're not hard. Text it to yourself. App notes are in there. All right, here's the first one. Be tough. What does it mean to be tough? Let me be clear. I love the dictionary because the dictionary says being tough means to be capable of enduring strain, hardship, or severe labor. You are strong or firm in texture, but flexible and not brittle. And I love this because what happens is to be capable of enduring hard things in life, like that's life. And I know sometimes like we're all, it's hard when it's easy to say that like in a existential kind of way, right? Like life is hard, but it's so much harder when it's personal, when it's me going through the hard things, it's shocking and it's surprising. And I feel like somehow I shouldn't be the one, right? But instead we recognize life is hard and there are hardships that we have to endure, but we have to do it in the kind of way that allows us to be tough without becoming brittle, because brittle things break and we don't want to be broken by every hard thing that we come across in life. We have to figure out how to be tough by being firm without being inflexible, because what happens is inflexible things snap and they cannot weather the wind and the storms and the craziness of life. And one of the words that I think helps us with this, I don't actually like the word itself, but I love what it means, hardiness. Hardiness isn't like a word that we use anymore, but what it means is it's perseverance and toughness that helps people emerge from devastating circumstances. That's hardiness. Now, let's be honest. We have difficult circumstances, right? Like, I get frustrated. I get mad. I get upset. I get sad. I get hurt. I get disappointed. All of these things are true. But it can also be incredibly hard to get easy to get stuck there. When I'm angry or mad, guess what? I'm right and everybody else is wrong. True story, right? You've been there. Don't challenge me. I'm right and I have 552 reasons to back me up why, and they're good. You can Google them. Okay. But what happens is we get stuck there and I get stuck angry or I get stuck mad or I get stuck frustrated and I get lost in the emotion. And what happens is the emotion doesn't solve the problem. When I'm there, I don't need more anger. I don't need more pain. I don't need more frustration. I honestly don't need more complaining, right? Like the complaining didn't make me feel better at the end of the hour. They don't fix things or move us forward. But in those moments, what I do need is the reminder that I can be tough. I can be reminded right now in this moment when I am frustrated, when I want to like do physical damage, I'm so angry, right? Like come at me, my kids, man, right? Okay. I need the reminder I can be strong. I can be courageous. I can cry because I cry when I get stressed out, but I can still be fierce, right? Like my tears don't make me weak. They just are part of who I am. And these reminders help me change my focus. If I'm going to be tough in this circumstance, what does that require of me? I can get lost in the things that I'm angry about because I've got justifiable reasons why everybody's wrong and shouldn't have done the things that they did and why I'm hurt and why I'm upset. But that doesn't get me out and get me forward. What does get me out is the reminder saying, okay, I can be tough in this circumstance that is incredibly difficult. This requires this from me. And what that does is it flips the perspective and I don't get lost as a victim to circumstance or the things that have happened. But instead, I now have control of what I can do with what I am in control of. So if we're going to be tough, what does that require? Okay, sometimes being tough means you got to let it go and walk away. That's hard. If you've ever let something go and walked away, you know how hard that is. You know how good your argument would have been. You know how persuasive it would have been. There would have been tears, remorseful tears. Sometimes the hardest thing that is required of us is saying, I'm not going to make this better right now with my anger. I'm going to let it go and I'm going to walk away. Sometimes being tough means we got to carry a heavy load. Whether it's a physical burden or an emotional burden, no matter how heavy it is, there is a period and we just have to strengthen ourselves to carry that load for that period. Sometimes being tough does mean having the hard conversation. And look, nobody likes confrontation. I say that most people don't like confrontation because you've met the people who do. All right. Most people don't, right? Like if you do something that's hurtful and upsetting to me, I want to tell 10 other people why what you did was hurtful and upsetting, and they're all going to agree with me and make me feel better. But the problem is not solved. What's harder is me looking you directly in the eye, which, by the way, is exactly what Jesus tells us we should do in saying, you did this, and this is how I feel, right? I'm not going in there with attack mode to bring you down. I'm going in there with a healthy conversation mode because I want to fix the problem. And so having the hard conversation is looking somebody in the eye and telling them the problem instead of telling 25 of your closest family and friends what the problem is so that it never gets solved. Sometimes being tough means helping carry somebody else's load because they're buckling underneath it and it's heavy and they need somebody to stand with them in that pain and tension and chaos and carry the load. Sometimes being tough means not giving up on the people that you love, even when you're grouchy, even when you want to. Sometimes being tough means living in the uncomfortable tension of right now. Sometimes the uncomfortable tension of, I don't like this, but I don't know how to fix it, it's a hard place to be. Usually it's about ourselves, right? When we're confronted with something we don't like about ourselves, but we don't know how to fix it, we want out of that uncomfortable feeling as quickly as is humanly possible. And so we start looking for shortcuts of, how do I get out of this and move on? Because it doesn't feel good to stay there. But sometimes being tough is the brutal reality of looking at ourselves in the mirror and say, if I don't like that about myself, what can I do differently? And living in that uncomfortableness until we get to the other side. And look, tough doesn't mean hard. It doesn't mean unaffected. It doesn't mean mean. What it means is strong and firm. And here's where these lovely tensions get to come in, because you can be strong, but you can also be gentle. You can be firm while still being kind. You can be tough without being rude. Those things are possible. Not easy, challenging for sure, but absolutely possible. So then we have to layer this into our own thinking and or our own life. We have to turn it around to a personal question. Where do I need to be tough in my life, right? Where do I need to be strong? Where would an extra measure of toughness help us through what it is that we're going through right now? Because then we can take action on that and practice it. All right, here's the second idea. Being tough is first. The second idea is working hard. There's no shortcut to working hard in life. I know there are lots of people who make lots of money off of saying the easiest way to do the easiest things, but there's always a cost to taking a shortcut. No matter what anybody tells you, there is a cost. And I love how Paul says this in the second part of the verse. He said, "Always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain." This idea of abounding is really, really interesting. It shows up throughout the New Testament. actually talks about abounding in Christ. So abounding is actually like overflowing. It is excessive. It's excelling in something, right? Like doing more than just what's required. Like if there was a minimum standard, abounding is more than that minimum standard. As much as you can and then some. It is more than what's been expected of you. So when we think about this idea of abounding, and it says abounding in the work of the Lord, I think there's two different ways we could approach this, and both of them are good. So I want us to think of this as two ways. The first way is, okay, what does it mean to abound in the work of the Lord? Well, what is really God called us to do? Like, what did Jesus say we should do? And we can simplify this because he made it pretty clear, like, love God and love people. We can care for the needs of others, and we can love justice and pursue it radically. Okay. Those are ideas that we can work hard in. I can say to myself, how do I give those things time in my life? I can work on making God more of a first place holder in my life and what I do. I can work on spending time with him more than I do right now. We can work on being a person who is kind and loving. Maybe like the first step we take is I want to be kind, right? Like maybe like the starting point is like, help me to want to be kind so that I can grow into being a kind person. We can make it priorities to look for ways to help other people and meet their needs. And there's so many radical ways the world's crying out for justice that we could get involved and help. No matter what we do, no matter where we are, no matter where we've been, all of us can do these things. Every single one of us can grab onto one of these handles and say, I can do more of that. I can work harder in that. I can find ways to abound in that rather than just settling for the minimum. And none of the work is wasted, no matter the results. No matter if we don't even get to see the result of the work, none of it's ever done in vain. But then I think there's a second way to look at this, because Paul, in another letter that he writes to his friend, he also says, whatever you do, work heartily as if for the Lord and not for men. And we could take this same idea into what he's saying right here and filter it into how we work. No matter our job, no matter our position, no matter where we are in the workplace, if we're at home or school or a job somewhere, what if we took this attitude with us? We abound in our work. We can be counted on to give all that we have, to exceed expectations, to do more than just the required minimum amount, to do more than just what we can get away with or what we can get by on. So what if we said instead, like, I don't care where I am, like, I will work as hard as I can in that place, because none of this work is ever wasted or done in vain. Because all of the work that we're doing is building in us the character and the value that we need to move forward. There's absolutely no job that we are too good for. And I know sometimes that's hard to say because we have these very, you know, like lofty ideas of ourselves. And we are smart and we are special and we are remarkable and we are unique. But guess what? So are a lot of other people. And what that does is that makes us like them in a very cool kind of way. And instead of saying that I'm too good for this or I'm too high for this, instead we say there's no job that I'm too good to do. In fact, if I'm earning a paycheck, I'm working to earn that paycheck. That's the exchange of goods. I work hard, they pay me in return, right? I don't deserve it. I'm not entitled to it, but I can absolutely work my guts out at it to earn the paycheck that I get. And each place that we get to work, we get to learn and develop who we want to be. I was joking around about this in the first service. One of my jobs that I had a long, long time ago is I worked in customer service for cell phones. I don't know if you remember like when GTE kind of like split up. I'm going to like date myself a little bit here. This is in the flip phone days. This was before smartphones. And GTE split between Alltel and Verizon. And Alltel came out with this like unlimited plan, which was like unheard of at the time. Because remember, you sort of like pay for minutes. And there's like unlimited nights and weekends. But daytime was crazy town. And everybody got on it. And the systems couldn't do it. And everybody's phones were like, you got a busy signal on the cell phone, which you never get. Or it was all of these problems. I worked in customer service at that time, and people did not like me. I actually had phones thrown at me. I'm not kidding. You want to make somebody grouchy? Tell them their phone is shut off. Man, I've had people reach at the cat like, it was a hard job. I worked for that paycheck, I'll tell you that much. But guess what? I learned things in that job, which was not my favorite job I've ever had. But I learned things and I learned skills that helped me be the girl that I want to be today. And even if the job isn't the place that we're going to stay at forever, even if it's not like the dream perfect landing place, it doesn't mean we can't work hard where we are. It doesn't mean that we can't use the experience to learn and grow from it. We start where we are and we work our way to where we want to be. Even if we can't stand our bosses, even if we don't want to do the thing we're supposed to do on principle alone because of how terrible they are, at the end of the day, listen, we aren't working for them anyways. Even though they're the ones that we say day to day, we are working for the very one who made us and called us, and he always deserves our very best work. Even if the people we're working for don't, God does. And when we set the standard for our life, what we're saying is, I'm willing to work hard because it's not man I'm working for, it's God. And here's why it isn't wasted. Developing this desire and discipline to work hard, it goes with you no matter what you're doing. No matter what facet of life you're in, no matter what period of life you're in, this discipline to work hard is necessary at every single level that we go. And what happens is we develop the ability to be steadfast in big things by practicing little ones. You want the responsibility for more, you prove you can do it in the little ones, right? And the same thing is true, because we become what we do if we do it often enough. And what happens is what we do every single day is creating habits and disciplines in our life, whether we like them or we don't. But they show up in what we do and who we are. When I was younger, I hated doing homework. Hated it. And then I got to the age where I'm like, you know what? I don't have to do this homework. Like, I could not do it. And so I didn't do my homework, and I didn't study, and I was obnoxious enough that I was just smart enough to get by without doing those things and pass. And I was in some, like, advanced classes, so they were weighted, and I got a better grade than I ever should have gotten a grade for. But the problem was, because I could get by, I created absolutely horrible study practices. So when the time came that I was actually, like, you know, like, going to school and wanted to learn and needed to learn and needed to know the things that I was learning about, I had terrible habits, like, terrible. I had to start from scratch. I had to completely start over and create whole new disciplines in my life because I wanted to learn. Like, I actually, at that point, wanted to, and my old habits were terrible and no help to the person that I was at the same time. And the same thing applies to whatever work we are doing today. Wherever we are, whatever facet of the world we're working in, we are creating habits and disciplines based on what we do every single day. Which means I have to ask myself, where have I been slacking? Like, where have I just been, like, getting by on just enough, right? Where have I been high school Katie who's not doing her homework and coasting by on just enough? And where can I go in more, right? Like, where can I work harder, more than just the minimum, and give a little bit more of effort, a little bit more hard work? Because what might God do there if we did? So our first one is we got to be tough. We got to partner it up with this working hard, this hard work ethic. And then here's the final one that these two ideas come together in. We don't quit. Because we will face moments where we want to. Let's be honest. We can do anything hard for like a measured period of time, right? Like I used to joke around like when I was getting ready to have babies. I'm like, if labor lasts 24 hours, I can do anything for 24 hours, right? Like that was how I like got myself worked up to do it. But it gets hard when you're 6 weeks in and you haven't slept. That's a lot harder than 24 hours. But what happens is there are moments we face, we've done the hard stuff repeatedly, and we're there, and now we're tired, and we're exhausted, and it's hard, and it's longer than we think it should have taken us, and or we meet somebody who's mean or insensitive or rude, or we have these moments where we're underappreciated, right? Like, nobody sees how hard I'm working. Is it even worth it? Or we have these moments where we're like, why did I even think this was a good idea? Who suggested this? Whose idea was this? This was a terrible idea. And we have these moments where we will want to quit. But it is exactly in these places where we need to dig in a little bit deeper, where we need to say, I'm tough, I'm steadfast, I'm immovable, and I will not be shaken off this life course because I said it matters so much. It's where we need every ounce of resilience and strength and courage that we can muster, because if we quit, we never get to see what's waiting on the other side of all of that hard work. If we give up, we miss out on what's coming next and who we might become. I've told you a bunch of times, Irwin McManus is one of my favorite preachers. And listen to what he said. He said, I wonder how many victories are lost before the battle has ever begun. I wonder how much good God desires to usher into the world that's been thwarted by our own lack of ambition. I wonder how many times in my own life I thought I failed, but actually the only thing that happened was I quit. We stop before God is finished. He said, instead of pressing the limits of what God could do in and through our lives, we assume that his intention for us is less, and so we settle for what we can do rather than what God intended to do through us. He said, if you simply gave up because the journey was longer and harder than you expected, you've become a settler when you should still be a pioneer. The unfortunate reality is that many of us would choose our comfort rather than our destiny. We would choose safety over opportunity, and we would rather settle for less than sacrifice more. He said, is it possible that God is waiting to do more than we could ever ask or imagine, and he's looking throughout the earth for someone who refuses to settle? I mean, how incredible is that? I mean, what if right now God has so many good things that he wants to do in our world, in our community, in our neighborhoods, in our homes, in our families, and he's just waiting for one of us to say, God, you can pick me because I won't quit. God, you can choose me to be part of that good thing you want to do because I can be counted on not to give up when things get hard. Friends, we were never called to settle. That's never who God called us to be. We were the ones who are called to persevere, to pioneer, to start new things and move forward, not because it's easy, but because it's worth it when we do. So let me give you a couple suggestions. I think when it comes to what we should persevere in, there are some very individual things for us that we know. We know what God's pushing or calling or prompting, and we know that we shouldn't give up on these. But then there are a couple things that I think are very universal that we could all persevere in together. I think the first one is you should persevere in the pursuit of who you are. You should absolutely never give up on growing into your best self. I mean, from now until the other side of heaven, there is room to grow, and God isn't done with us yet. And if you don't know who you are yet, if you don't know what that purpose is, that's okay. Start where you are, right? Like, it doesn't just pop up out of nowhere and overwhelm you and throw a party for you and say, welcome to the table, let's get this done. What happens is you start where you are and you build it from there. You work for it and you find it along the way. If you've gotten off track, no problem. Pick yourself up, dust off your knees, and start again. Because it's never too late to be who God has called us to be. I think we should persevere in our faith. We might have had moments in our life where we've quit God, but God has never quit us. And I just want us to be reminded that because of the persistence of Jesus Christ and what he endured on that old rugged cross, the violence and the shame, we know a new chance at love and grace and peace and hope. Because Christ wouldn't quit on us, every single one of us has access to a life of potential in him. And we get to know a whole new level of peace and hope. We might have questions. Okay, we might have struggles, no problem. Guess what? God can take it. God can handle our hard questions. God can field our struggles. And if our God isn't strong enough to handle those, then we don't know God as who he is, because there is nothing too hard for him. And in these moments where we are hurting and we are questioning and we are struggling, that's not the time we pull away from God. It's the time we lean into him more than we ever have before. If we're hurt, if we're upset, if we're unsure, that is the exact time that we go looking for God to see what we can find out that we didn't know before. We all have the ability to persevere in our faith. And then I never want to stop reminding us, we should absolutely be persevering in prayer. Prayer is this thing that reminds us we've got an awesome God on our side, and he didn't leave us alone. He gave us his powerful Holy Spirit to work in us and work through us and do ridiculously awesome things. All this worry, all this stress, all this pain, all this struggle, all this upset, all this disappointment, Christ stands with us in every single one of the obstacles that we face. All the courage and the hope that we need to face these challenges, we have access to them through Jesus Christ. And when it feels overwhelming, when we feel like we're sinking and we can't get our head above water, we are reminded we have access to God through Jesus Christ. And so we pray and we pray and we pray, and we never stop, because God promises that he hears us when we do. Because God promises that he is faithful and just, and he hears the cries of our hearts. We never stop praying because we never stop believing God can do something here. God could be present here. And so we pray and we pray and we pray and we pray, because we have a faithful God who promises to listen to us when we do. Over 30 years, our church has been getting together to do a week of prayer. If you've never come before, if you've come 15 million times before, we're doing it this week. And here's what we do. We meet here in the church Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 6 p.m. And we're going to get together, and we're going to pray for each other. We're going to pray for the church. We're going to encourage each other. We're going to pray for what's going on. And if you've got a holy prayer in you and you want to show up and pray, pray. If you're not ready to pray, you come in and you sit with us, no problem. If you just want to sit in the corner and watch us, we won't judge. But what happens is we get to come together devoted to persisting in prayer, because we say it matters so much. So we're going to meet together at 6 p.m. those three nights. But then on Tuesday and Thursday, we're going to mix it up just a little bit. We tried this in our last one, and it really is powerful to me. I want you guys to actually take this practice of prayer and use it in your home, in your community, where you're at. Actually practice this together. So on Tuesday and Thursday, we're actually going to email you a devotional. It's going to have a verse. It's going to have an encouragement. And it's going to have a challenge for you. And we're actually going to say, how can you get together with your families and pray? How can you get together with some friends and pray? How can you go out into your community and pray? And look, here's one of the things that we're praying for. We're going to pray for our schools together, because our kids need it. Our schools need it. And they're facing struggles. Look, I know school was hard when we went to school, but look, it's hard for our kids today. And they're facing things that some of us never had to deal with. My girls have to go through a practice of what happens if a dangerous person comes into their school. I never had to do that, did you? And guess what? Our kids are facing these terrifying circumstances, and we are praying with all that we can. We're flooding heaven with the name of our kids and our schools and our teachers and our principals and our supervisors, and saying, God, help. We want you present in these places. We need your protection. We need your help. We need your peace. Our kids need your hope, because they need to know, even in these dark times, there is a light that shines and we can find you. I mean, what if we made this our goal this week, to cry out to God and see what might happen when we call on his name? I read a wonderful article about prayer this week, and it's about a woman named Sister Rosemary. She was put in place at a St. Monica's girls vocational school in Uganda in 2001. And if you're familiar with history, this was right in the middle of Uganda's civil war. And what we know about this, which you've probably heard of, is the Lord's Resistance Army, the rebel army. Joseph Kony kind of led it up. And they actually were going out in the middle of the night and kidnapping children to make them soldiers in the war. Horrifying boys, girls, all these horrible things that they did. They estimate somewhere around like 30,000 kids were stolen during this time period. So what happened is every night these kids were terrified to sleep in their own homes because they were afraid some man with a gun was going to show up and take them away. And so these kids would leave and look for safe places and look for shelters. And Sister Rosemary took in every single one of these kids that showed up. Hundreds of kids would show up and they had no room to hide these kids. But they put them in every nook, cranny, hallway, storage, anywhere they could to create a safe place for these kids to hide. But here's what's even more powerful. Every night, she stood guard in the gate to the school and prayed. This remarkable woman versus an army, versus a rebel army with evil intent, night after night after night, she prayed down protection over those kids to see them through the night, again and again and again. And this wonderful St. Monica's became the safe haven in a violent, scary time. And this wonderful woman fought her own battle against an evil army to protect these kids, armed with prayer. And the war moved on. And she didn't quit, because after the war, there were thousands of kids, girls that needed home, orphans without a place, and she helped rebuild their lives. Listen to what she said. She said, "My prayer is, Lord, you are with me. So if I go out in your name, let everyone I meet know that you are with me. I am thankful that you come to me who is unworthy." I mean, look, just this one line, "Let everyone I meet know you are with me." How powerful is that? What if we started praying that together? Let everyone we meet know that Jesus Christ is with us, and he who is in us is greater than he who is in the world. The power of what God can do through persistence and prayer, friends, it's beyond what we can measure. It's beyond what we can even imagine. And I love this woman's fierce spirit. I love her ability to stand up to evil and fight for good, and I want more of that in me. And I love these wonderful stories about these brave men and women who fought the good fight and gave their lives for it with courage and strength and persistence, and I want more of that in me. But even beyond all of that, I want more of Jesus Christ in me, because it is his fighting spirit that allows us to go out into this world to confront every hard time, every hard issue, every loss, every struggle with love and courage and peace. And because what Christ is what remains. Dear Father, I pray that you would please help. I pray that you would stir up in us a holy desire, a noble passion to go out into this world and do life differently than we've ever done it before. Father, I pray that you would give us the strength to be tough. I pray that you would give us the courage to work hard. And Father, I pray that you would put a fierce, steadfast immovability in our hearts that we would not quit, no matter how challenging the circumstances are that we face. I pray, Father, that you would pour out an extra measure of grace on us, that we would rely fully on who you are and who you've called us to be. And I pray that in this all, the name of Jesus Christ would be glorified. In his name I pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information on Christ Church, please check us out on the web at www.christchurchohio.org. If we can be of any help to you, please contact us at 440-236-8282. Until next time, blessings to you.